The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
We're back. Second hour of the program is live. Reese Davis joined us in the first hour. Fantastic conversation with him. We'll talk to Brian Robinson in a minute, former Texas player, now part of the Longhorn Network. Let's check in with Zach up next. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
Very well, Zach.
Hey, I just wanted to ask you what you thought about the Auburn Tigers this year. You know how they have five home games coming at home. I just want to see if you thought we would have a chance to go 5-0 to start off the season and see what the outlook looked like for the rest of the year.
Yeah, Zach, I think it's possible. When you start looking at the schedule and thinking about what we thought about a few weeks ago, it's more realistic. Penn State's always been the key game. Getting by Penn State, I think, opens the door. There's Missouri and I believe LSU, so... Yeah, that's one thing that the first week of the season does. It starts giving you reason to recalibrate. And right now, I would think Auburn, assuming it can figure out this quarterback situation, has a shot at running that table. And should they go 5-0, wow, the whole Harsin conversation changes. Brian Robinson played at Texas, went on and starred in the NFL, and is part of the Longhorn Network as everybody getting ready for Austin this weekend. And Alabama visiting. Brian, good afternoon. Thank you for joining us. How is everything?
Everything's great. How are you doing?
We're doing okay. Well, tell us about the Longhorns, because everybody is wondering. Sark lowered the expectations. Many are predicting an absolute beatdown. What's the feeling out there?
Yeah, I think after you watched the first game, the Texas Longhorns came out much more aggressive this year, which is definitely something that was wanted to be seen, especially on defense. They played very well up front this week against what many will say an inferior opponent in ULM. But it definitely gives the Texas Longhorn faithful hope coming into this game a little bit.
Well, give us a breakdown, because certainly everyone knows about the quarterback, Quinn Ewers, and what he's capable of doing. Let's start there. What are your impressions of him so far?
You know, obviously opening the game up with the mistake that he had early on, we wanted to see how he would react. And he did a great job of coming back out there and really and truly leading this football team. And that's one of the questions behind him, was the leadership aspect, how he would be able to react with those mistakes. And what we saw out of him was him going to the sideline, staying even keel, and bringing his team back out there and doing the job that he needed to get done.
Brian, he was the number one player coming out a year ago. We all know where he went, and now that he's back. What makes him so unique?
Man, honestly, the first thing that sticks out with him is his arm strength. When he's able to throw the ball down the field, I mean, he's got an arm that can compete with anybody in the country. I've seen it in the spring game. I've seen it during spring practices. I mean, with very little effort, he's throwing it 55, 60 yards in the air. So that is something that definitely puts him apart. Now, the flip side of that is the accuracy that he can have downfield. We saw last week against ULM that he overthrew some guys. I'm hoping that with time, that he will be able to kind of dial that in a little bit. And if he is, he gives Texas a great opportunity to score some points.
We're talking to Brian. Brian, by the way, if your kids show up in the school line, don't let us stop you. We do not want to disappoint the youngins. How many are you waiting for right now?
I got two of them I'm picking up, my daughter and my son.
Okay, well, we will try to squeeze as much out of you as possible before they start running to the car. Expectations is a big part of football, and Texas has not had much success lately, but Alabama is in a different league, at least perceptively. How does this game stay interesting if you're on the Texas sideline? I know that's not the goal. The goal is to win, but that's not the expectation, though, for most people who are pundits.
Well, I think when you look at it from a defensive aspect, the defensive line has to be very aggressive like they were last week. They're going to have to get up against this offensive line of Alabama that, to me, watching them on film, has not quite gelled yet. So that may be the one emphasis that could give us an opportunity, is to be able to get after Bryce Young and be able to be aggressive, maybe blitz some on first down, try to get them behind the chains and give them the best opportunity to put them in some third and long situations. Offensively, I think we have to create a mismatch with what I think is arguably one of the best running back rooms in the country with the Texas Longhorns on the Alabama's linebackers. If we can get some involvement with Bijan in the screen game, Roshan being able to get out on the edges as well, that may give them an opportunity to, you know, be able to create some first downs, march down the field, and put up some points.
You mentioned Bijan, and certainly he has been one of the best running backs in the country for a while. You've seen a lot in your time. How do you describe him and as he moves on, what is he capable of down the road?
I think he's capable of a lot. I mean, a guy that I spent a lot of time with that I would compare him to is a guy like Adrian Peterson. He's got size, speed, power, agility. I mean, he's really got it all. And to me, I think sky's the limit for him. It's just a matter of, and in my opinion, he probably is a Heisman finalist guy if Texas can win some ball games this year. So I think sky's the limit for him. I think he's got a bright, bright future ahead of him.
Listen, thank you. I realize you're in a tight squeeze there, but we appreciate, Brian, you coming on board here. I hope your kids get to the car safely, and we will talk to you soon. Thank you very, very much. As we continue here, as we'll be looking ahead to Texas and Alabama all week long, and more of your phone calls at 855-242-7285.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back to the program. Ed Ogeron resurfused today after being missing in the witness protection program for the last 9 months. He spoke in Little Rock, Arkansas at our friend David Basil's group. And he said, they came in to me and they said, Coach, you've got $17.1 million on your contract. We're going to give it to you. I said, what time do you want me to leave? And what door do you want me out of, brother? He said a lot more than that, and he got a big laugh, and good for him. He basically walked out with $17 million, and he's the first coach I've ever heard that made a joke out of his firing in that regard. But you know what? If these guys here owed me $17 million, you ready to go? Keith?
Yeah.
Danny? Jabari? So, Danny, go ahead and bring the car around, okay? I don't want to waste any time. Arthur is up next in San Francisco.
Paul, wanted to talk playoff expansion. Surprised by the details announced last week, I'll tell you why. I thought we were moving towards two super conferences, and if you weren't in the SEC or the Big Ten, you weren't in the top tier of college football. But if you look at the details, not only does it give access to four conferences guaranteed, but those top four spots, each conference can only have one school. So these other conferences, the ACC, the Big 12, the Pac-12, I thought they were on life support. Why did Greg Sankey do this? It seems like he's throwing them a bone.
Well, there's about 2.5 billion reasons why they're going to do it. It's you're going to see the biggest college sports contract ever come out of this. And by the way, the question really is, should these networks be spending as much money, because they thought they were getting the they were entering the super conference era, especially the Big Ten. And you're right. This does bring everyone back to the playing field, so to speak, but still, you can get into the playoffs, but the value of your league has still been severely diminished.
Do you think that this means that sort of a Big Ten SEC only semifinal was just going to be too hard to pull off in the short term?
I think numbers matter. I'm not an analytic expert, but if the SEC has four in the 12 and the Big Ten has three, the math is pretty easy.
Yeah, I agree. And one last thought. I think this actually ends up being great for the Premier Bowl. I mean, we got to the point where Ohio State players were skipping the Rose Bowl last year, which, used to be unheard of. And, maybe being a quarterfinal isn't as good as what the Rose Bowl used to be. But at least if you're one of these top six bowls, you're going to have an important game being played at your site. So I think that's a win.
Yeah, Arthur, the dynamics are going to change dramatically. Right now, if you're at a middle of the packer, getting to a bowl game matters, maybe getting to a good bowl game. If you sneak into the playoffs, you can live off of that for a long time. But everything will be different now. And I'm not sure, we don't know how it's going to be, because we don't know when it's going to be. But you better get in the playoffs, though, if you're a big-time program. And I don't think the number 13 team is going to draw nearly the attention as the number 5 team. We make a big deal about it in college basketball. Well, primarily Dick Vitale makes a big deal about it. Nobody else cares who the last team they got left out of the tournament is.
Absolutely. Thanks, Paul.
Thanks, Artie. Good to hear from you. Phil is up next in North Carolina. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. Good to have football games going on, isn't it, to see what
you
actually got going on?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think, Paul, that there are a lot of teams and a lot of players and a lot of quarterbacks that are very intimidated going up against Alabama and against Bryce Young. And I think Stetson Bennett is not one of them. And there's two reasons. One, he played in a game that was a defensive struggle that went down into the fourth quarter with everything on the line. It came down to those moments where one quarter – the team that's going to win is the team that had the quarterback that made the plays and the fewest mistakes. Stetson Bennett made all the plays. Bryce Young made all the mistakes. Secondly, he's not worried about Alabama. The hardest thing Stetson Bennett has had to deal with was winning over his own fan base. And I think he's finally getting that done. But after going through that, he doesn't care who calls him an elf on the shelf or a midget or what those other fan bases have to say about him. He's not scared. He didn't look scared Saturday, did he, Paul?
No, and I don't think he's going to, because he's – the oldest person on the field. He's got tremendous experience. He's overcome everything. And no matter what happens, he has already made it. And that was some of the arguments I heard for him leaving. But, he wasn't done, and good for him. Nobody can tell somebody, as long as they're able to keep going, that they have to leave something that they love and enjoy doing. Thank you very much for the call. Bubba is in North Carolina. Hello, Bubba.
Paul, we're at a rare moment in time right now. The Vanderbilt Commodores have the best record in the entire SEC.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, it may actually last one more week if they can handle Wake Forest, but I want to give a shout-out to my old boy, Black Hat Elvis, there. He was talking about Stetson Bennett, said he was done, washed up. I'm telling you, the little leprechaun looked pretty sharp Saturday.
He sure did. Bruce is up next in Florida. Hey, Bruce.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Don't you get tired of that question being asked every caller?
No, because every caller is different. It's not like you're talking to the same person. So it is perfectly fine with me.
Well, I get tired of hearing all these callers fussing about how hard it is to get into your show. It don't make no sense to me.
It's not that difficult. You can call at 7 o'clock the night before and be on hold for 20 hours. You'll definitely get on.
Well, what I do when I call the guys in the back, they recognize my number and they just put me on through.
Well, Bruce, that's the secret. There's also a way, and it's hard to do if you're watching on a delay, but as somebody is hanging up, this is just a tip. We used to do this when we were in college. We tried to get into win prizes on radio shows. So you have to time it as the call is ending. If you're dialing the number, you're likely going to be the caller calling in right then.
Well, now you said Daryl quit the show.
Daryl is not afraid to make all kinds of inflammatory and disgusting remarks about other people. But he got upset because I said he had a stupid take when he made the reference to the fact that Will Muschamp and Mike Bobo are going to work harder now that they're on the staff at Georgia. That's more inspiring. And my argument was, you know, harder than when they were head coaches at South Carolina and Florida and Colorado State, all three places where they got fired. I said, that's a stupid take. It's one of the stupidest takes I've ever heard. He took it personally because, you know, Daryl's the kind of guy that can call me an idiot, make some inflammatory, and I'm not going to use a narrow characterization, but most people know when Daryl is talking about certain things, what exactly he is saying. I don't need to spell it out, nor do I want to. And he got his feelings hurt, and he cried and went home and is sucking on his pacifier and hoping that his mother will comfort him.
Well, whenever I've seen his new picture, because I didn't call for a while, didn't watch the show for a little while, but when I started watching the show again, seeing his new picture, I thought he had a terminal disease.
Well, he does.
Or either he went to...
And again, you know, I respect Daryl. He's a retired Marine, and he served this country, and, you know, but...
Well,
know,
I'm an Army man. I served mine, too.
Well, I'm glad you did. But that's no reason to be treated differently. We're all supposed to...
Amen.
And, you know, he and his buddy in Tuscaloosa can go into the corner and cry.
Yeah, they do that pretty regular. I just wanted to call, let you know, it's hard to get. It is hard when I got a rotary dial phone, well, but it still works for me. So I don't understand.
Hey, let
the
me ask
card.
You about a rotary dial phone, because does it work as well as a normal phone? Well, not a normal phone, but a newer phone, I should say.
It's quicker. It gets me right into the phone. And I don't know why, but when the guys in the back see my number, they just let me go ahead. So I don't know if it's a different or special, but
I have not seen
I really
a rotary
appreciate
dial.
Them.
I have not seen a rotary dial phone in many, many years.
I've got two in my house.
I may get one.
Yeah, they're faster.
I like those.
All right, Paul.
Thank you. You remember those old black ones? You kind of. Anyway, David is up next in Florida. Hello, David.
Hey, Paul. How you doing this afternoon?
We're doing well. Thank you.
So I attended the Utah-Florida game. That's why my voice is a little hoarse. I was part of the team. I felt like there was 90,799 fans there in the swamp.
I bet.
And knocking off number 7 Utah there. I know it was a home game for us, but I think Florida has a real shot behind Georgia in the East. And I'm wondering your thoughts on how we played – on how we played Utah. I know Tennessee has Pittsburgh coming up, but I want to mark the calendars for that Tennessee-Florida game because I'm going to call it now, man. I like Florida over Tennessee and Knoxville. I'm just going to say I don't think Tennessee has the defense to contain Anthony Richardson. And without that, it's going to be a high-scoring game. And I, you know, go Gators and all that good stuff. I'm still hyped up from
Saturday. Well, yeah, but
Saturday.
Let me, David, let me flip it around. And I realize the Florida defense won the game at the end, and you can't take anything away from that. It was a massive play, but against a good quarterback. But what is Florida's defense going to do against Hendon Hooker?
So, well, that's my question there. We do have Vontrell Miller returning. You know, he was very impactful. He had a couple of tackles for losses. I'm just kind of hoping that with maybe some momentum built up, because we do have a night game in the swamp again this Saturday with Kentucky, hoping for a good W out of that, preparing for Tennessee. We'll maybe just give them boys just a little bit more, you know, they'll settle in the trenches a little bit more and be a little bit more focused than they were, you know, last year. Because I believe the team was there last year, how we played Alabama, and just with the coaching and everything, it just came unspiraled and everything just came undone. And I'm giving Napier a lot of credit for kind of putting those pieces back in the place that were already there. So let's just kind of see where, you know, if we can hang in tight against Kentucky, I think we'll be okay. Because I watched through my own eyes the fumble, and nobody on that Florida sideline at the very beginning of the game when we fumbled and Utah picked that ball up, nobody on that Florida sideline put their hands on their helmet or was like, oh, man, here we go again. They were confident. They stood in there. They had a very good mental toughness to them Saturday against a very good Utah team. So
that's fantastic. Hey, thank you for the call. James is up next in Kansas. Hey, James.
Hey, how are you, Mr. Feinbaum?
We are doing great. Thank you for calling.
Good. I am a lifelong Razorback fan, and, you know, if Sam Pittman runs for governor tomorrow, I'd move back down there and vote. But what are your thoughts as far as the future stability of the program with the portal and with the pieces that they're bringing in and so on? And also, do you think that they have a good chance to be a contender for the SEC title game in the next couple of years if the program stays on its current trajectory?
James, I do. And having spent the weekend in Fayetteville, I feel like I've got a decent understanding of what's happening out there. That is as well-run an athletic department as I've seen in the whole country under Hunter Yerichek. And I think that's where it all begins. There's tremendous support in that Northwest Arkansas area across the state. And that's what you need. And it's always been there, but the coaching selections and the leadership in the AD's office has been shaky until recently. And that is now cleared up. And I think Sam Pittman is the right time for the right for this moment. And it's unusual that you can get you can make a hire this good. But I think he is built for getting Arkansas in serious contention, not that far away. And with some more recruiting and maybe a few transfers, I think Arkansas is prime. Now, it's pretty obvious you have to get by Alabama at some point in time. That could change. Things are cyclical, although at Alabama lately, nothing has changed in 15 years. We'll take a short break. More to come right after this.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hey, we are back. Glad you're with us. So you're just watching First Take during the break there with Stephen A. Promising a beatdown for the Texas Longhorns. Let's get back to the calls here and check out Cheryl, who is in Alabama. Hello, Cheryl.
Hi, Paul. How are you doing?
We are doing well. Thank
Great
you.
Great weekend of football, wasn't it?
Yes,
Great
ma'am.
Weekend of football. I love football. Love Alabama football. But, you know, as hard as our football players work getting ready for the season, there's other people that put a lot of hard work and sweat into bringing about our experience at football games. And I don't know if you heard this morning, it was all over the news and social media that the Million Dollar Band was planning to go to Texas this weekend, but found out that Texas is only not giving them near enough seats for the band.
Well, I think what that's about is they're putting them at the very top of the stadium, which you're lucky if you. But let me say this about the band, Cheryl. I appreciate your call, but that's standard operating procedure these days. The bands are treated shabbily across the country. The home team doesn't want to waste good seats. There was a time in this country when the band had great seats down below, so they could scoot in very quickly to the field. But now it's all about the fat cats. It's all about the money givers, because you got to support the school and you got to put money into the football program to get better players. The band doesn't matter as much. I know everybody says it does, but it just doesn't. I-Man is next.
I tell you what, after all this time we've been off, I can't wait to the games. Can't wait to the games. And that's the complaint?
Band's got to sit up in the
that's
upper deck.
That's the complaint? I mean, you know, you just beat the hell out of a team that 65 other teams would have destroyed, and the band ain't getting good seats. The band ain't getting good seats! We waited all this time for that call. I'm gonna back that up, and I'm gonna record that, and I'm gonna keep that. I'm gonna use that on one of my demo records somewhere. The band ain't getting good seats. They don't respect them. You know, Paul.
Hey, I-Man, do you have time? You know, maybe we can do a telethon. Maybe get buy the band their own section.
So you don't take the $1 million band. You know what you do? You take that $250 band. Take the damn drummer. That's all you need. Boom, 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 boom. I mean, really, really. And you know what, lady? When Texas comes to Bryant Denny, just treat them the same way. Boom, 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 boom. You know, Paul, we look at the polls as they exist. And I know these guys are scattered all over the country. They've got biases and everything. And there's a reason we go to the college football playoff polls at the end of the year, because these polls suck. They're meaningless. There's no imagination. In a NASCAR race, you're watching the Talladega 500. Lap 3, the top 10 people in turn 3 are not the same 10 people in lap 35, 42, 57. It changes. And you would think that the AP would be, because these are all writers, right? And people like that. You would think they'd be creative enough to vote like they see. That's why they just dumb as hell, and they're not worth talking about. Now, how about them Auburn Tigers? And, you know, Paul, LSU's going to be fine. LSU's going to be fine. They're rebuilding. It's a rebuilding year, ladies and gentlemen. That's a proper term. That's part of the process. It's a rebuilding year, and take the $250 band. We're damn legal.
I got lost when he said hello. Richard is up next in Florida. Hello, Richard.
Thank you for having me. I was just curious about what you thought Brian Kelly's debut was and why they did not go for two during the end of that game. And then also, my wife is a huge Tennessee fan, and we're going to be at that game in Baton Rouge in a couple weeks, and what you thought about that as well.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear from you. I was just incredibly disappointed by the end of that game, and really the whole game. I thought it's one thing to inherit a mess. It's another thing to fail at every aspect of the game, especially the fundamentals. You know, getting a team ready to play from a special team standpoint with talent is not difficult. You can do it with a bunch of walk-ons and have a chance. And Brian Kelly was dealing with some extremely high talent down there. And I thought it was an abysmal decision for this reason. He went for the extra point and failed. I mean, what else do people need to know? I mean, you say, well, the odds are he's going to make it. Well, the odds are that he didn't make it. So what's the debate?
Why not?
If he'd gone for 2 points, which I think he would have gotten, I mean, the percentages is 43%. Well, he just got through one of the best drives I've ever seen. The guy, it was a do or die on that final play. They converted for the touchdown. Why would we believe he couldn't have done it one more time? So, I mean, I don't even think it's debatable because of the result.
Absolutely.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate it very much. Can't believe we're still talking about that. Robert is up next. Robert, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. Good to talk to you again. It's been a few years since I've been able to get through. But
I'm glad you made it.
It's good. Well, yeah, it wasn't took a little time, but I got there. A couple things. Now, my Gators, I'm very proud of the way they played Utah. And the reason I say that is because I don't think that team last year could have pulled that game out. And would you agree?
Well, the fact of the matter is, Robert, we saw Missouri game, the Alabama game. I'm trying to remember a couple of other really close games because there were so many blowouts toward the end. Dan Mullen could not have coached that game to that team to a victory. And I'm really picking on him because he was the head coach. But ultimately, Florida had found a way to win. They did not find ways to win last year under Dan Mullen.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. It's an attitude, and last year they just did not seem to have that cohesion. It's like they just suddenly lost it. It's like it went away, and they never regained it. But I'm very optimistic about the direction they're going. I'm not predicting a SEC championship or anything, but I think we've got a shot at an eight-game season this year. I think there's two games, Kentucky and Missouri, that we can pick up that we lost last year. The last point I wanted to make is Brian Kelly with LSU. I know everybody's beating this to death, and I know that LSU's offense was sucking dirty dishwater yesterday, the other day. But the one takeaway that I get is that even though they played as bad as they did, they still almost won that game. And I know almost don't get it done. But as bad as they played, they still almost pulled the game.
Yeah, but Robert, I agree with you on that. But remember, they almost won a game against Florida State. They didn't almost win a game against Tennessee, Alabama, Texas A&M, Arkansas, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, all schools that are going to give them fits. All right, we're up against the break. More to come. We've had Reese Davis. We went to Texas. We have Roman coming in here a little bit later, and Pat Dye Jr. in the final hour, the son of the legendary Auburn coach. We are coming right back.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we are back, and Daryl is up next.
Hello, Paul. Say it right off the bat. Okay, the only reason I'm calling in is because I'm going to make my case on what I said and just to clear it up, okay? What I said was, Paul, look here. It's okay for somebody to have an opinion. Just because you don't agree with it doesn't mean it's okay to go calling somebody dumb. You never talk to your guests like that, but you talk to your callers like that. Why is that? I mean, why is it that lack of respect on one side? I mean, I don't get it. But here's the deal, okay? I've been calling your show for 12 years, dude. 12 years I've been calling your show. When you dedicate anything to 12, when you got 12 years invested in something, there is a line of respect that you should get from that, okay? If you're working for it, are serving a decent person, there's a line of respect you will always get, regardless if it's your employer or whatever it is. And, I mean, it's just you don't have to agree with something. You're not always right. I mean, I heard you talk about football predictions. You're wrong. Okay, hey, just a prediction. Right, it was. You made just a prediction. You were wrong about it. I don't mean you're dumb, but, I mean, what I said, but it ain't something. It wasn't even an opinion, really. I heard it come out of Will Muschamp's mouth. I heard it. Let me tell you something. When I call in, okay, stuff that I blow out of my mouth, you can always bet one thing. I do my homework first. I'm not going to go on a national platform and just run my mouth about something I don't know about. I'm going to always do my homework and make sure what I'm saying is accurate. Need to fact check it. But, I mean, it's just, there's you know, treat people like you would want people to treat you, Paul. There's no need in calling people dumb and that kind of stuff. You're the only – out of all the hosts that I've ever listened to on the radio, and I can name a bunch of them, probably 100 or more, okay? I've never heard one of them refer to any caller as being dumb, and you said even worse things. I mean, you know, maybe it was Labor Day and you didn't want to work. I don't know. Maybe that's what it was. That's not my fault, though. You know what I mean? I mean, blame that on ESPN. You really can't be blaming on ESPN because you make plenty of money for what you do, and you know that. But why call somebody dumb over something like that? I mean, am I wrong here?
Well, first of all, Daryl, I will stand on my record in dealing with callers. I will also say that in the course of a conversation, things can get heated. I try not to do that. And maybe because of familiarity, I felt like I could just, you know, go a little bit deeper in the conversation with you. But I in no way am I trying to suggest, Daryl, that you are dumb.
Oh, well, I know I'm not dumb. I mean, but I know that ain't the point. I mean, you know, I didn't want to go here, but I will. I mean, I think you've been down this road before, right? Some guy tried to sue you over something you said. I'm not going to say what you said, but, you know, and you won the court case on it, okay? And I know that, but...
Daryl, hold on one second. Are you going to sue me over me calling you dumb?
No, I'm not going to sue you.
That would be that would be quite a lawsuit. By the way, Daryl, do you realize when you sue somebody, you have to prove that you're not dumb?
Say it again?
I said if you sued me over that, then you would have to bring experts in to prove that you're not dumb.
Well... You're funny, Paul. Wow. Well, then
we could get a bunch of experts and try to say that you are. I mean, I don't want to do that, Daryl, but you're the one throwing around lawsuits.
Oh, you got to vote for the top 25, right?
I do not.
Oh, I thought you did. Okay. You got to vote for the Heisman, though, right?
I do.
Okay. I knew you got to vote for one of the two. I don't understand how Georgia, okay, we can move up to number two and cut the votes, like, I think we were 100 behind Alabama. Now we're like 46 behind Alabama. Okay, but you can move Georgia up to number two, but they drop Oregon completely out of top 25. I mean, that makes no sense to me. How can you move one up? It was obviously they did a real good job, but you see what I'm saying? Does that make any sense?
Well, I think the reason Oregon got voted out is they lost by nearly 50 points.
Well, I know that, but I mean, if you're just going to move Georgia up, saying that was an impressive win, but then you're going to drop a team that far down the poll, it doesn't really matter. Those polls don't matter anyway. The only one that matters is November. I heard what you said with Stephen A., Paul, and all I got to say about that is, I mean, you start to sound like Nick Saban now. You know what I mean? You don't need to sound like Nick Saban. That's exactly who you were sounding like.
Do you understand the purpose of that show I was on?
Don't be trying to like Nick Saban, Paul. We're trying to get Alabama to lose, not win. Okay, default.
Yeah. Okay. So Daryl is not is he or is he not going to sue me over me insinuating that he's not smart? I don't know. I'm glad he called. I felt like was that good? Were y'all good? Is that bygones be bygones? I wonder. Can I use Labor Day as a defense? And it wasn't a matter of not wanting to be here yesterday. We're always here on Labor Day. That's not like, oh, hey, you have to work on Christmas Day. We are here every year on Labor Day. Why are we here on Labor Day? Because it's the first Monday of the college football season. Now, I'm glad we got that cleared up. Brady is in Arkansas. Hello, Brady.
Hey, how you doing?
Brady, we are doing well. Thank you.
I hope I don't sound like Nick Saban. You there?
Yeah. So are you – why would you sound like Nick Saban?
Oh, I don't know. I was listening to your other caller.
Oh, okay.
Hey, I got a question, though. Texas A&M and Alabama, if you were a betting man, who would you bet on?
Alabama.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I think I'm going to go with Texas A&M.
Okay. Well, you're welcome to. And you'll probably be able to grab a few points because they'll be likely a 2-touchdown or more underdog.
Right. Yeah, I was hoping that. I'm sitting here with a couple of buddies from work, so shout out to Brian and Mike. But hey, I just wanted to get your question on that and go Hogs.
Well, great to hear from you. Thank you. Jess is up next in Auburn. Hello, Jess.
Hey, I was just calling in to talk about Robbie Ashford and see what you thought about him this Saturday and his debut in Auburn.
I'm really impressed by him, and you know, I remember the first call, the first conversation we had on him was way back with Pat Smith, who did some of his games in high school, and ultimately it looks like he's trending toward the Auburn signal caller. He's capable. You know, does he have enough around him? I think is ultimately the question, other than Tank Bigsby.
Agreed, agreed. Do you think he's going to start above T.J. Finley this year?
I don't – yeah, well, I think he will at some point, yeah. But right now I think you just have to let it play out. I know that sounds rather pedestrian, but, you know, Brian Harsin's a really smart offensive coach, and I don't think he – you know, he's dealing – you know, he swung for the fences on Calzada, and he found out that that wasn't the answer. So he's simply trying to deal with what's left. Let's take a break. We still have 2 hours to go. It's been a busy one with Reese Davis. We have Greg McElroy next.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.